place to sit. It's somewhere near water.
Welcome back to our open home hour. If you're just joining us, we've altered our format a little bit. If you do have a question about your home, castle, or cabin, we'll take those at 1-888-767-4348. Email info at rosieonthehouse.com or text at 411-923. We probably just won't do it on air today because we're fitting in an interview with SRP, Surface Water Resource Hydrologist, Andrew Voltmer, because we couldn't get through Water Month here at Rosie on the House without talking to SRP. And if you've been following the headlines on water, man, they can sure make it sound like doom day. Arizona will wrestle with finding water for its suburbs. Underground water uncertainty. Pinal County may lack underground water resources. Even Safe Water has its grist study finds. Arizona experts, water laws are flawed.
Oh, my head.
We're here to clear and mucky up that mucky water for y'all. And, you know, we've got enough to use, but not enough to waste. And we're educating everybody about where our water sources come from, because we feel if you can understand where it comes from, you have a better appreciation, responsible with the water at our home that we manage. And Andrew, to do that, let's get back up to the mountains and talk about, you know, that little flake that falls out of the sky that brings so many people to Arizona.
Oh yeah. So
the snowpack.
Our watershed expands all the way up into the mountains by Williams and all the way east to Alpine. So we have a lot of snow that provides a lot of water.
And it is interesting to look at a map of all the rivers of Arizona. When you say Williams, you know, that's so far off geographically from where we think about the Verde and the Salt, and you would think that would fall more into, you know, the Lake Alamo watershed, but you've got that range there where it all goes in that big Chino Wash, comes into the Verde, comes into the Salt, comes right into, you know, the Valley of the Sun.
And it's a long ways for it to flow, but it makes it down, and we try to store it and hold on to every last drop and make sure that we're using it wisely.
And from Williams to Alpine, talk about the people that y'all have in the field constantly up there. Maybe not during the heat of the summer or 24/7, but you've constantly got people up there monitoring and anticipating and calculating for what that total shed will be each year.
Yeah, so during the winter especially, us in Surface Water Resources, we like to keep an eye on the snowpack. And so we'll go out there, you know, every once a week once it starts to snow, and we'll take measurements. We'll either drive up by Flagstaff, you know, Clint's Well, or we'll fly up into the White Mountains and take measurements and observations of how much snow is up there. So then we can really get a good grasp of how much water we can expect to come down into our reservoirs once it starts to melt. So there's a group of us watching over it, and we also have a lot of instrumentation that our water measurement group.
In wilderness survival class, they'll teach you could never stay hydrated just eating snow. You have to melt it for drinking to stay hydrated. What does a pound of snow melt down to in drops or gallons of water? Is there an equation or ratio that y'all are using? Or,
you know, so that really just depends on how cold it is and how, I guess, how wet the snow is when it falls. But, you know, a lot of times when snow falls, 10 inches of snow depth would equate to about an inch of water. So if you took 10 inches of snow and melted it down and put it in a rain gauge, that'd be about an inch of rain. As the snow melts, it becomes denser, and that ratio definitely goes down. So once that's one thing we look at is snow density. Once it becomes so dense, that's when it starts to melt, and we call that a ripe snowpack once it starts to melt like that. And that's really when we can expect flow in our rivers to increase and start to fill up our reservoirs.
And so when you're talking an inch to 10-inch ratio, 10 to 1, you know, if you're looking for that acre foot of water, you know, you're looking for 120 inches of snowpack to make that, get that 1 foot of standing water that you measure your acre feet in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it doesn't quite work out like that, but that's a good way to think about it. I know I sure wish we'd get 120 inches of snow up there, but that doesn't usually happen.
Unless you have a snow-making machine.
Yeah. you know, and that's something great to bring up. We're always looking into other ideas, and there's a lot of things that you can do, like weather modification, where you actually can seed clouds and cause precipitation to form in certain conditions. So that's another thing that we do in our group, is we're always researching and looking out to things that can help the watershed out.
And you have meteorologists that on staff that study these things.
That's right. So we have in the group I'm in, Surface Water Resources, we have three hydrologists and then three meteorologists. And during the summer, they actually are always monitoring the monsoon, and they're also they come out with a forecast twice a day for temperature, and that helps forecast load on the power side. But then in the winter, they're constantly coming up with forecast for the watershed, so we can see how much snow or rain we can expect. And not only is that important for a seasonal inflow, but you know, sometimes when the reservoirs start to get full, we really need to keep an eye if we're going to have a big event that could potentially cause us to have to spill water from the reservoirs. So they're always keeping busy, and they're not only are they doing their forecast, but a lot of research too. So it's good to have meteorologists and hydrologists on staff. It really helps our water supply manage.
These meteorologists now, this is from the National Weather Service, or do you use the University of Arizona?
So our meteorologists are actually in-house. They're SRP employees. We do work with the National Weather Service, actually. The Phoenix office is located here at our SRP headquarters. So we work closely with the meteorologists from the Weather Service, and then we do some research, too, with the U of A and ASU with their meteorology. But our own meteorologists are in-house, so they're SRP employees.
All right, so, Andrew, I just had a question there when you were talking about releasing water in anticipation of a big flow coming down river from, you know, a big storm or a big snow melt off, whatever the case. You stated earlier all the dams can hold 2.3 million acre feet of water. How fast can you empty all that if you need to?
You know, I don't know how fast we could empty that whole 2.3 million acre feet. That's a great question. Hopefully we never have to do that, but you know, I will say that we can route a good amount of flow through our reservoirs if needed, through the spill gates. I think back in the 70s and 80s, some of the peak flow through the valley in the Salt River was, you know, I think 180,000 CFS. So we have the ability to pass that and more. It's all based off of the probable maximum flood. But hopefully we never get into a situation where we have to pass that amount of flow.
You have to be real careful, though, because you can't pass. There's a finite amount of water you can put through Tempe Town Lake until suddenly there's a flood warning in Tempe.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that all the water that comes through Tempe Town Lake comes from our dam. So you're right. I mean, it's hopefully we're never put in that situation where we have to release that much water. But the infrastructure is in place to do that. So usually it's always done in a safe manner.
So that brings me to my next question. We in the beginning of the segment, we talked about all the dams in Roosevelt, and you know, 1902 was the legislation. It got done in 1911. You know, most of these dams, with the exception of Tempe Town Lake, were done well before any of our lifetime of the listening audience, Tempe Town Lake being that exception. Are there any more locations along our watershed that we could add additional reservoirs?
You know, I mean, that's been looked at time and time again. But at this point, we're sticking with our dams that we have right now. So they've been tried and true in terms of water supply, and we anticipate that to be the same in the future. So we're always looking into the future and looking at what we have now and how we can maximize that into the future.
Let me clarify, when you release water and it goes through Tempe Town Lake, where does it go down the Salt River? Where does it end up?
Yeah, that's a great question. So once it hits Tempe Town Lake, they usually, with the new gates, they just let the gates drop and it goes into the dry Salt River bed. And a lot of it, you know, when you initially release, a lot of it actually gets seeps into the riverbed and recharges in the groundwater. But eventually it makes its way down to like Gila Bend and Painted Rock, which is a flood control dam. And then if you get enough water, which doesn't happen very often, it makes its way down to the Colorado River. So down by Yuma, it goes into the Gila River, which confluences with the Colorado. So I don't think that happens very often, but it definitely can if we have to release a large, large amount.
And you had mentioned that, you know, Roosevelt is our big water resource. The other lakes you keep full mainly to maximize your hydroelectricity you generate. Mm-hmm. And that's another unique thing to SRP is that very few people have the same water and electric company providing both utilities to them. SRP is one of those that does both, and that's a very unique situation to the state. What amount of hydroelectricity is your water reservoir dams creating for our grid system?
Yeah, so the total capacity of our hydro generation on our lower salt dams is about 240 megawatts. It's not a huge amount, to be honest. I mean, our peak last year, our peak load was like 7,000, close to 7,000 megawatts on one of those hot summer days. But the nice thing about the hydropower on our dams is you don't have to ramp it up like you do a coal plant. It can be flipped on with a switch, which really helps for when we have sudden increases in load. Overall, it's probably only, last year I think it was about only 1% of our total power supply, but it's an important 1%. And it is, like you mentioned, I mean, it's nice, like a renewable type of electricity because you're using water to generate it.
You know, the interesting thing I have found in all of these different utility interviews that we've done and doing the research for it, whether it was the Palo Verde Nuclear Power Generation Station, whether it was Central Arizona Project or SRP or the water reclamation facilities, is all of these I come away thinking the same thing, that, man, this is so cool. I could see myself working here. Y'all have got great careers, great jobs, and it's a great and vital service that everyone that lives in Arizona needs.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a great place to work. I go into work every day just thinking it's a dream, but it's my job, so I really enjoy it, and it has a great purpose. Providing the valley with water is extremely important.
As Rosie would say, I want to have your job.
Oh, yeah.
All right, our last segment of the hour coming up here at Rosie on the House. This will wrap up our water month. It's the last time we'll talk about water, but then we'll spend an entire hour designated to the topic. We're joined with Andrew Voltmer, the surface water resource hydrologist for Salt River Project.
We always have to talk about water. I mean, without it, we wouldn't be talking, right?